Well, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We are so glad to be able to connect with you, you know, every morning at 10 a.m. just to bring some word to you, just some encouragement each day through this crisis, through this time we're going through. So before we just fellowship over the word, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we invite you into this time. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless your word today, that you would speak in a powerful way just through the truths of Scripture, that you would encourage our hearts and those that are tuning in today, those that are listening, Lord, that they would be built up in you, Lord, and just to be able to rest in you and to trust in your finished work. I pray you bless today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to pick up in chapter 28, verse 1. And I want to talk to you today about stones, just looking at stones from the Old Testament through the New Testament, and just kind of some of the things that stones teach us. So picking up in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to start in verse 1, and it says this: "Now after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay.'" So the ladies were coming to anoint the body, to minister to the body of Jesus after his crucifixion, and after he was placed in the tomb. And, you know, there was a large stone there blocking the entrance into the tomb. And let's go to the Gospel of Mark. You want to read the same story. Oftentimes when you're studying a narrative in Scripture, then it's good to read it in multiple places so that you get a fuller understanding of that text. So in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, we're going to read just the first four verses there as well. "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' And when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And so they asked themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone for us?'" They knew that they couldn't do it. Even the small group of women, they didn't have the strength to do it. They were not able to remove that barrier to go and to serve and minister the body of Jesus. And so I find it interesting the use of stones in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And that's something I've been reflecting on. And so in Joshua, it says this, Joshua chapter 24, verses 26 to 27. It says, "And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of the Lord, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, 'Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he has spoke to us, and it shall be a witness unto you, thus you deny the Lord your God.'" So this is towards the end of Joshua's life, and he is saying to the people, he's reading the book of the law, he's reading the word of God to them, and he's saying, he set up a giant stone saying, not only have you heard the words of God's word and the law, but so has the stone. And it's a witness to you. It's a sign. It's as if it's speaking to you. And it's just an interesting thought that stones can be a witness, stones can be a sign or a symbol for us. You ask yourself the question, where else in the Word are stones referred to or recognized throughout Scripture? Probably one of the most common places would be also in Joshua, chapter 4, stones of remembrance. That's often a common place where we think about stones. And that was when the nation of Israel was crossing over the Jordan River to enter into the Promised Land. And the Lord, by his mighty power, you know, shut up the Jordan River and stopped the Jordan River. And the people walked over on dry land. And Joshua said to Israel to take 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan River and to carry them into the Promised Land and to put them in as a big pile so that each generation could look back and say, look what our God did. Look at the mighty works of our God. Look what he has done. I would encourage you today to think back to the stones of remembrance in your life personally. When has the Lord showed up in a mighty way in your life? When has he spoken to you? Go back to those sweet times with him. Sometimes when we're in the midst of crisis or hardship, we need to go back to when has God come through for you in a powerful way when you knew God showed up and he is faithful to you. Another time, fast forwarding to the New Testament, that stones are mentioned is what we celebrated last Sunday, which was Palm Sunday, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. He entered riding a donkey, the colt of a donkey, and he entered in humbly. But the people began to worship him. They began to praise him. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, you know. They began to worship him and praise him as the king of Israel. And the Pharisees didn't like it. They said, Jesus, rebuke your disciples because they're like worshiping you. And he said, if I tell them to be silent, these very stones will cry out. I kind of wish the disciples would have been mute at that point and we would have heard the stones cry out. I wonder what they would have said. But it was that Jesus was saying, even these stones would cry out. Creation is going to worship me at this moment. And so we think back to the lady's question. They asked the question, who will roll away the stone for us? I think that stone symbolized something in the human experience that we're dealing with right now in the midst of this crisis. And that stone represented the penalty for sin, which is death. You know, death is something we're seeing. You know, we're seeing the death toll from this virus, and there's a lot of concern about it, obviously, and a lot of worry about it. And that stone separated the living from the dead. And they couldn't pass there. They couldn't remove that themselves, the penalty of sin, the sorrow of death, the darkness of death, the loneliness of it. They could not overcome that. And they asked the question, who? Who will roll away the stone for us? And we know the answer, right? You know, in Sunday school, you know, what's always the answer? It's, oh, pick me. It's Jesus, right? Jesus is the answer. You know, that's often who we go to. But Jesus was the one who came from heaven to earth. He died on the cross for your sins and for mine. That they put him in that tomb, and he rose again 3 days later, conquering sin and death. He is the one in heaven itself that rolled away that stone for us. And instead of death now being something that we have that is full of darkness and uncertainty and worry and dread, now there's hope, there's light, there's fellowship after death, fellowship with the Lord and with one another if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. He's taken away the sting of death for us and even given us joy after death, knowing that we have eternal life with him forever for those who have made Christ their Lord and Savior. Heaven rolled away that huge obstacle of sin and death to show us that whom the Son sets free is truly free indeed. And so as we look forward to this weekend, as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's turn to another passage. This is really good, so get ready for this. Prepare your hearts. This is so good. All right, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Most of this whole chapter talks about the gospel. And we're going to read the last 8 verses just to kind of bathe ourselves in the word as the body of Christ. And we're going to pick up in verse 50. And this talks about Christ's final victory. That here on earth as believers, we do not have to live as victims. We can live as victors with the Lord. We are not, you know, victims of our circumstances. We can triumph over them through Christ's victory on the cross and through his resurrection. So in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Jesus swallowed up death, and he was victorious over it. Then in verse 55 says this, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. I love that. Be steadfast as a rock, as a stone, immovable, abounding, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So again, we do not have to live as victims in this life. We can live as victors through Christ Jesus and the victory that he's given us. And then, as you read earlier in Matthew 28, after the angel came out of heaven and rolled that stone away, it says that he sat on it. In verse 2 of chapter 28 of Matthew, he just sat on that stone. And I love that picture. You know, as the ladies were arriving, you know, there he is, sitting on that stone, ready to give them the message that Christ had risen from the dead, that he conquered sin and death for them, that huge obstacle that we as mankind could not conquer, he conquered for us. And as if he was saying, the work is finished, it's done. He was just leaning back, relaxing on that large stone, saying, it is done, it is finished. Heaven has won the victory for you, ladies and gentlemen. He has, by his blood that was poured out and shed on that cross, he has won the victory. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear sickness. We know that he is victorious in our lives. We can rest upon the finished work of Christ, and heaven rests on it, and so should we. As an angel stood or rested on the stone, so we can rest our souls in Christ alone. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, it says this. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That it is done. It is finished. That's what we're celebrating this weekend. And then one final passage. We're going to go towards the end of the New Testament for another reference of stones. All right. And it's going to be in 1 Peter. Let's see. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 4 here. And it says, coming to him, referring to Jesus, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, not dead stones, not the rolling stones, but as living stones. You also, as living stones, living testaments, living witnesses for Jesus Christ, being built up as a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Man, it's so good. There's so much there to study. I encourage you to study that, just that, those two verses. There's so much there to dive into, and it's so good. But here we see that we are to be living stones, that we are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, if you're listening, and someone invited you to watch these 10 a.m. Devos, and you are not assured of your salvation, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ personally. Maybe you believe in God, you might believe in spiritual things, might believe in the Bible, but you don't know Jesus Christ personally. I would beg you, I would plead with you to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, to trust him as your Savior, to believe that he died on the cross to pay the price for your sins and for the sins of all humanity, that he put him in that tomb, and that he rose 3 days later, conquering sin and death. That stone that was there, symbolizing the penalty of sin and the weight of death itself, has been flung away, rolled away. And there's no more victory there for the enemy of our souls, because Christ has won us the victory. We can rest in that finished work. And today, if you are a believer, then I would encourage you to witness, to become living stones, to share with anyone you can about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Today is also Passover, and Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. You know, he was blameless and perfect. He's the only one who has walked on this earth and has never sinned, not even in the smallest way. And so we can rest in his perfect sacrifice, a perfect atonement for our sins. That's living stone, sharing the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. So thank you for tuning in today. And as a reminder, we're going to be having our Good Friday service at 7 p.m. On Friday night. And then our normal services on Sunday at this point, which will be at 9:30 and 11:15. And so, and we're also going to be trying to do a children's church this Sunday as well, in between our services as well. And we'll send you more details on that when they're ready. So let's close in prayer. Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, that you rolled away that stone for us, that you conquered sin and death and the sting of death, Lord, is gone, because we know that to be absent from this body is to be present with you forever and ever and ever. And so, Lord, I pray for those that are listening today, Lord, that you'd comfort their hearts with the truth of the gospel, and the Lord, that they would preach the gospel to themselves day by day. Lord, I pray that we'd be witnesses for you, that we'd be living stones, living witnesses, Lord, on this earth for your glory and the furtherance of your gospel. So, Lord, thank you for this time and for your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your day. God bless.